Welcome to Leader Insider Secrets, where we get to the source of success. Hear from leaders who bear all and share their insider secrets, along with my episodes aimed at optimizing your performance, productivity, success, and well-being. Hi, my name's Estelle Reed at B.Company, and I'm an executive coach, trainer, and author of Inner Brilliance, Outer Shine, which explores 10 antidotes to imposter syndrome, workaholism, and stress. Okay, let's begin. So welcome. We have got Lisa. Lisa has been running Lisa Satchwell Energetics since October 2016, but worked for another practice prior to that. She is a pain management specialist and yoga teacher and provides an individual holistic approach to pain relief whilst teaching you how to maintain a healthy mind, body, and spirit. Lisa and I met years ago, I don't know if you remember this, in Ashby, yeah, when I first moved to Ashby, but then later realised I needed her to sort me out, and she sorted out my shoulder. I refer to her, to my family, friends, clients, as the miracle woman, because, I was amazed how you resolved my shoulder, and it made such a difference. I mean, I could hardly drive if I was driving like that. I couldn't get my clothes on, or, you know, so it was amazing. And Lisa knew just how to go to the spot. It was almost like telepathy. So it was a really great experience. And then just before we start, we hit record, we were talking about layers of awareness, weren't we? And yeah. When I reflected after that experience, I realized there was emotional pain there. That's what was going on. And that's where Lisa and I have got some synergy, because I deal with emotions with clients when they've been emotionally triggered. But coincidentally, sometimes they also get pain as well. And I will say, I think you should go and see the miracle woman, Lisa, to get that sorted out. Because mind influences body, body influences mind. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that once you and I got chatting, we realised that our clients have got quite a bit in common, haven't they? And
yeah, totally.
You know, when I think about the time when I came to you, I was just shouldering too much responsibility for other people's stuff and making that connection. You know, it's not recurred since, which has been fabulous. Cool.
Yeah.
No, that's what we want, you know.
Yeah, that's what it's about. It's getting about, well, not just, I suppose, fixing the problem. I don't fix. Yeah. I don't fix. I facilitate a change in your body, basically. Yeah. So it's about getting that change in your body through what I do, but also through understanding from yourself as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think sometimes it doesn't always work, because sometimes we're not ready for that extra bit. We're not ready to actually face that there is an emotion there. We're not ready to sort of release that. When we say release, it doesn't mean you've got to be a mess on the floor crying your eyes out. Sometimes it does. That's how we do it. But other times it could just be like a light bulb moment or an understanding of, especially as women, like, I think you take a lot on, don't you? And women, I don't have children. I have cats, which is about the same thing, to be fair. But I think we do take a lot on, you know, and we put ourselves last. We don't necessarily prioritize our own health, our own needs, our own time. You know, I look at my sister, she's got 3 kids, and I think, when do you have a moment to just breathe, you know, and just go, oh, you know, just have that minute.
You're so right.
And it does accumulate in the body.
You're absolutely right. And I think what you do is you press the reset button. So, and it's making that conscious choice that actually I want to sort this out. Yeah. And that's what it was for me as well. But also, you're absolutely right in that how can we shine? You know, I talk about shining in a million ways to shine. How can we shine if we're in pain?
Difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And I shared a post the other week about, even something like rejection. Rejection causes physical pain. You know what I mean? And it's been shown on MRI scans. So they can actually see the neural pathways working.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm dealing with a client who is experiencing rejection, you know, whether that's through sales, whether that's through how they're feeling about the rest of the leadership team, and they are in pain, then that's where the synergy is, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
So anyway, so that was my little intro for you. Welcome! it's so good to have you here, Lisa. So
thank you. It's lovely to be here. It's very exciting. It's my first ever podcast.
Hey, yay. It's fun. It's just chatting.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. It is. I have loads of. Well, I don't know whether I'm going off at a tangent here. It's something that I'm gonna do, because I keep having all of these amazing conversations with friends, people, random things, and I go, this would make such a amazing podcast, because it's just. I think it's stuff that, I mean, we talk about things that we probably don't generally talk about, and we go off on little bits of tangents of like, whoa, but I think it's just these are the conversations we need to have.
Yeah,
I think sometimes it just sparks something in people, and if it just does that to somebody to go, oh, I never thought of that, or I never looked at it that way, or and I don't necessarily all want to talk about pain, but I think people don't put that synergy together. Do you know what I mean? Lots of people come to me, they don't know that, they don't even know that they're stressed.
Yes. And
the most amazing question on my consultation form is, what do you do to relax? And the look of horror on some people's faces when I ask that question, they're like, you can see them visibly sweating.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. And I think, like, I'm meeting people that can't answer that question, like, or you know, or struggle to, or, you know, a lot of it is, I sit in front of the telly with a glass of wine, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hands up, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's not a relaxation for the body, because we're stimulating. We're stimulating ourselves through alcohol. We're stimulating ourselves through the TV. Do you know what I mean? We're not taking that time to really just be.
No, you're absolutely
right.
If
you ever do nothing and sit, and I do, but not probably as frequently as I need to.
What kinds of things do you do to just be and sit? What are the sorts of things you do?
I think, yoga really helps. So I'm also a yoga teacher, so yoga really helps. And yin yoga really helps, because yin yoga, you hold poses for long periods of time. Although sometimes it is the mind does kick in then. And I think that's why we don't do it, because the mind, when we are that, the mind, and it will, that's how it does. That's it's very hard to shut that off.
Yeah.
So I suppose in the morning, and I'll be honest with you, I am pretty crap at discipline. I'm quite rebellious. I don't like routine, or I tell myself I don't like routine. The only time I've ever had a solid morning routine that I stuck to was when I did an Ayurvedic program, because I had acid reflux, and I had an actual purpose to, it was like, right, I'm going to religiously do this for 6 weeks and see what happens. And I did enjoy it, but I did find it was a chore as well sometimes, because it was so long. I think it was probably like up to an hour, and I was like, sometimes I don't have that much time in the morning when I'm teaching a yoga class at 8:15 in the morning. So I try and catch myself before my mind kicks in. So I will take a few breaths.
Yes.
So I will breathe. Even if it's just for a minute.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have started to connect to myself. So I do put my hands on my heart.
Yeah.
Because that's where our soul, or our whatever you want to call it, that's where we're at. And that's where I feel we're at. So I sort of just try and tune into that.
Yes.
And I have a little chat to myself, really. Like, I just sort of like, and I do, and this is the hard thing, and I'm a little bit embarrassed, but like, I do tell myself all the good things about myself.
Good.
Because a lot of the time I'm not telling myself those things. So if I do it first thing in the morning, and I'll be honest, I haven't been doing it for very long, but it feels great.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to connect into that. So you might need to I might need to take a few more breaths into that space. Or I like to imagine things. So I like imagine my heart like pumping and I connect into that. And I do. I tell myself I love myself. Because I don't very often. And
so you,
I think,
are you using positive affirmations then whilst you do that?
I suppose so. I had this thing with affirmations, to be honest. And I also use a range of products called Zenforium Soul Tonic. So I use them in treatments and I use them myself. And there's a little spray here that I use. Yeah. It's like an aura spray. And they have affirmations. And when I first started with these products, I was like, oh, I don't know about this. I felt I feel a bit of an idiot standing in front of a mirror going, I see my truth. My future is calm. My past is healed and released.
Yeah.
But they're really powerful.
Yeah.
Like so yes, probably it is an affirmation to myself.
Yeah.
It's that little prompt to myself that no, my negative mind monkey, you can do one for a minute and sit on the side or whatever.
Nice.
And I do a little bit of energy tapping.
Yes.
And movement to get energy. And I've recently reconnected with my little pendulum, which I absolutely love. So I do a little bit of energy clearing using that, just asking what degree am I connected to the earth, or the energy of the earth, the energy of prosperity, and the energy of the universe.
Awesome.
And then if I'm not 100%, I ask it to, I douse it to bring me to 100% or to be in complete balance.
I do that
every morning.
So let's say we've got some skeptics out there listening. They won't have heard of dowsing or connecting to energy or all that type of thing. What, from a practical point of view, the way I have one of those things, I was going to call it a stick, it's not
pendulum.
A dowsing, a pendulum.
Yeah.
And I used to use it to connect with people's unconscious minds. So we talk about ideomotor signals. So our ideomotor signals are unconscious movement. So you can tap into a yes and a no signal with clients. And I mean, I don't tend to use it these days because often clients will look at me and think I'm a bit of a witch because they'll say, oh, how the hell is that happening? You know, and I'll say, well, it's just your body. It's just body language because your unconscious mind really knows what you really think.
Yeah.
But most of the time we are too busy up here, upstairs in our conscious mind. And so, all of that aside, from a practical point of view, you are massively programming yourself positively, aren't you? You're giving positive instruction to your unconscious.
Yeah, and I will do it. Like, sort of, we do drop out of that. Like, it's not a state of being. Like, you know, I think I'm not somebody like, you know, I think you've got to go away for a long period of time, probably to India and sit on a mountain. I'm not like that at all.
Yeah.
Very feet on the ground. And I think then I might make a mistake in the day, or I might forget something, or I might, you know, cock something up. We all do. And then suddenly that, like, oh, knew you'd do that, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, I picked this up from somebody. I do some stuff with Kirsty Gallagher, and she's all about the moon and crystals, and I subscribe to her monthly, and because I suppose the moon is my sign anyway. I'm Cancer, so I'm ruled by the moon, but the last year it's been like, since lockdown, you know, you find new things, don't you? And I've always been fascinated by it, but I sort of been learning and following moon cycles. And so every 2 weeks we do a full moon ceremony and a new moon ceremony with her. So I just find it absolutely fascinating, the astrology side. And Prue Nichols is another amazing. I've done work with her about astrology and the planets and how they affect us. And I've completely forgotten what I was saying now. I've gone off.
No, this is how
the mind monkey. So I think it's just reaffirming. Do you know what I mean? Oh no, that was a saying. She said something once, and I was doing something on my laptop, and I could hear these little, oh, what are you doing that for? Blah, you know, like all of those things, you know, you're not, you haven't got any qualifications, you're not good at this, blah. And I was like, so I just looked at the seat next to me and I went, you can sit there.
I love it.
You can stay there and you can behave yourself because I'm doing this. And I tell you what, because I get this, the feeling that I had, because I get this anxious or nausea or fear or whatever it is in my gut, just disappeared.
That is such a good tip to metaphorically put in another chair.
Yeah, I'd never used it before, but I think she'd said something, like, you know, because...
I think you've invented a technique there.
Well, I don't think I've invented it. I think I've pinched it with pride, as somebody said.
And that segues very nicely into imposter syndrome, because what you described there is imposter syndrome. So, you know, I'm not qualified, that self-doubt. And we all 70% of us experience it at some stage in our career. And I did a survey just recently, and the biggest trigger for people is their inner dialogue, just as you've described. So you've given a really good example of how you manage it. Actually, you do your affirmations in the morning, you're aware of your monkey mind, as you refer to it, and we've got a new technique, folks, designed by Lisa Satchwell.
Oh no, I can't take credit for that.
Why can't you?
Oh, all right.
Why can't you? You invented it.
There's a spare seat here. You can park yourself on that.
You can park it on there. No, I think that's brilliant. I think that's a really good idea and very simple to imagine and adopt.
I was surprised that feeling just, I was like, ooh. I was looking around for like something, but I was like, oh, that's great.
So this podcast is centered around my book, Inner Brilliance, How to Shine, 10 Antidotes to Imposter Syndrome, Workaholism and Stress. And so our questions are centered around some of the chapters. And the first chapter is actually about your coordinates, because if we don't know where we're at right now, how do we know where we want to journey towards? And the book itself is, just as a guest said last week who's been interviewed on the podcast, every chapter is different. So it's not a repeat of the same things. You go on a journey so that by the end of it, you are shining. But the first, if you're going to go on that journey, you need to know where you're at. So if you could give us an idea of what are your coordinates, what you're feeling challenged by, what you're excited about, what's happening in business life, any of that stuff that you want to share with us.
Okay, well, I feel like I'm in a transition right now, not to stop what I'm doing and do something completely different, but the way I do it. So obviously I work for myself. I've only got so many hours in the day. There's only so many days of the week I want to work, and I work one-to-one. Apart from my yoga classes, which are online and I have more people, I work one-to-one with people. And that's amazing, and I love it, and I love that connection, but I want to reach a wider audience. And I've also, like, there's a limit to one-to-one, because, you know, yes, I can increase my prices, but I can't increase them exponentially.
Yeah.
And then expect people, do you know what I mean? I've got to be within what I feel is right for my, you know, for what I deserve and what I've achieved and everything like that, just in alignment with me.
Yeah.
So there'll be a limit on what I can sort of earn in that. And it isn't just all about the money. I think it's also about educate, because I want to educate and empower people to take responsibility for their own health. So I feel at the moment I'm in a transition, and it doesn't feel comfortable, you know, like, and I suppose, I don't know, I mentioned, I get this feeling in my gut.
Yes.
I have to work out whether it's excitement, fear, or something telling me, or intuition telling me, gut feeling like, no, don't do this. And there are subtleties.
How do you work it out?
I suppose I'll make a change. Like, I suppose, like, sitting that person on the seat, like, and it disappears, that's it. Do you know what I mean? And then sometimes it's with me for a while and I'm like, oh, what is this? And sometimes that is that there is a pattern you know, like of going around in a wheel of like, here we go again, same feeling, same pattern of behavior. Like normally I go into sort of lethargy, can't be bothered.
Yes.
Which then equates to eating family sized packets of crisps and sitting on the sofa watching crap and drinking wine. That's a pattern. Like,
I think it's very, the pattern a lot of us.
I'm very emotionally, food and emotion is very connected with me. You know, I know that when I'm sort of like living on sausage rolls and rubbish and carbs and sugar, that like, alarm cells, there's something going on.
Yeah.
So going back to, I feel like I'm in a transition. So I'm excited and scared about it because, you know, and also I think, you know, the people that come through the door change, you know, like the type of people that I want to work with, I want is different, or I want to be different.
How do you want them to be? What's your... Well,
suppose really, I think first of all, I have to step into it and then they will step towards me.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I was going to give you an answer that wasn't actually quite true. You know, I want to work with people that want to embrace all that I do. Do you know what I mean? Don't necessarily need to know exactly what I do because it is very intuitive. So somebody, I could say that these are the techniques that I've got, but I can't tell you what I'm going to do until I get you on a table and we've had a chat and I've felt your body basically.
Yeah.
And that's how I sort of know whether your pain is physical or whether it's emotional. And sometimes I know straight away. And sometimes I know when they give me a little bit more of, you know, sometimes things don't add up.
So how do you tell? That's really fascinating. How do you tell whether it's physical or emotional? What do you feel?
Well, there are certain things. So at the moment I work with people that are on long-term chronic pain on like a treatment plan of 6 initially. Now I'm not necessarily saying that people are going to be completely jumping around and running it. Some people are,
yeah,
but not everybody.
Yeah.
Because if you've been in pain for, well, some people, like I'm working with somebody at the moment who says he's had sciatica for 40 years.
Wow.
You know, like when you've had that sort of pain or symptom for a long period of time, 6 sessions over 6 weeks is not, sometimes isn't going to touch it. Do you know what I mean? There's lots of layers to uncover. So sometimes if things don't change around 3 to 4 treatments, then I know something else is going on. But sometimes I can pick it up a lot quicker than that. Sometimes just putting my hands on somebody's body, it's like, whoa, we're not dealing with pain here. And I can't tell you how I know that.
But you just do. Yeah.
You know, like it's a feeling. It's, you know, like we all know, you know, we walk into, this is the energy. We walk into a room full of people. You know, when you go, let's use networking. We've all been networking. Yeah. And you are attracted to one set of group of people sitting over here in a corner. And you go over somewhere else and you're like, I don't know about that. And there's nothing wrong with them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're good and they're bad. There's not like that. But you just know.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, no, that's probably not right for me to join that group. Or we do know, or we walk into a point, it's like, who died in here?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know,
and is it similar when you put your hands on someone, or what do you experience?
This is a tricky one to, how do I explain this? I think it's that innate knowing, like you know we've all got this inner wisdom, and I would say just tapping into it. I'm just letting it out or opening myself to it.
Yeah,
because I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said I feel disconnected sometimes from it. I feel like I've pushed it down. And I think it does relate to childhood. I know you're like you say this as well, like whatever happens in childhood, we get triggered in adulthood. And I do, I think, you know, and, you know, by the end of the conversation, I'm like, so I went in like, and then I'm like, woo, like your book, you come out shiny and bright, like a penny, you know. But I think it is that. I think we've all got it. We've all got some innate wisdom about something, and it doesn't have to be weird and wonderful. It's just us. It's innately in us. So to try and describe. What I can describe is I get a tingling.
Right.
A tingling sensation. Yeah. My friend, who I treat quite a lot, says, I've got gremlins, you need to come and sort it out. Or I'm coming to sort gremlins. Or I call them orcs, because like a Lord of the Rings, because sometimes they are like, rah, they are like orcs. Yeah. I'm like, these are not gremlins, darling, they're orcs, because they're like, and she knows when I'm getting to it. And it because her fingers start to go, I'm like, don't lash out.
Breathe. Yeah. Do you see, so years ago I used to practice Reiki. So I did Reiki and coaching. I couldn't get the two to meld together. But this was more of my, I guess I'd got imposter syndrome going on, because clients would come and I would know stuff and I wouldn't be able to explain why I knew stuff. And they would say, my hands would be drawn to certain areas and I'd be like, you've got a problem with your knee. Well, how did you know that? And I'd say, I don't know. And it was the fact I couldn't explain why I knew something. And I felt like I didn't have a reference map to refer to, you know, to go, right, well, this means this. And, you know, we were talking about, so I was saying shoulders, responsibility. I didn't have enough, I didn't feel I knew enough information to do that with my clients. And then, but what came out of it is, through those attunements, I was able to see auras, which sounds completely bonkers to some of my clients. And the first time it happened, I thought I was getting a migraine. And we were in this client's house, my husband and I, it's when we were working together. And all of a sudden, I could see red mist. And I thought, oh, okay. And I said, I elbowed my husband when he was out making a brew. I said, can you see like a red mist? And he looked at me like I was absolutely crackers.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Mike, you know what he's like, yeah. Science brain.
Yeah.
She fixed my husband as well. Sorry, I know you don't like the word fix, but. anyway, he came back in and I realized, I made the connection. We were being quite provocative with this client. This client was at risk of failing again. And he was in denial in terms of what needed to change. So I was really pushing him. And he didn't like the questions that I was asking. I was asking with positive intent, but the red mist was literally descending.
That's exciting.
And so
I've got all goosebumps.
So it was weird. But then I learned to kind of, I don't see it all the time, so I can't see it with you now.
Yes.
It's often when clients are physically in the room with me, although I have started to see it on Zoom, if we've got the right backdrop. And I can tell when people are being very vocal, I'll see blue. When people are healing, I'll see green. When people are angry. And I had it with one client where I said, so how did it go in that board meeting? It was fine. And I thought, well, I'm seeing red mist around you. I didn't tell him that, but that's what I could see. Yeah. And I said, are you sure it was fine? And we were also at the time using Fitbit to monitor his pulse. And I said, right, let's have a look at the Fitbit report. So he needed tangible black and white evidence. I said, let me look at your Fitbit report on that day of the meeting. And it looked like he was running a marathon. His pulse was right up. And I said, right, come on, let's talk about it again. What happened in that boardroom meeting.
Yeah.
And so it's just extra information. It's, you know, a lot of people think that's weird, but that's how I use it. So
that's really cool. That's really cool. I don't see anything, and I do get a little bit upset that I don't. And I'm sure you could tune in and like, you know, and probably, I don't know, get that skill. Gift. I don't think it's a gift. I think it's just we've all got them. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
We can all do these things, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, how do you explain when people are in accidents and somebody can actually lift cars up? How do you explain that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is it's similar, you know, like it is, we've all got these, like you would, and then they can't do it again.
Yeah.
But in that moment, we can. So we can all do extraordinary things. But this is not mainstream, is it?
No.
You were saying about some people just need to know. Like, so like, if you'd said to me, I can feel this around your knee, I'd be like, yeah, okay, because that's normal to me. But a lot of people wouldn't. And I think it is harder to, I think it's interesting. When you were talking, I was thinking, you know, it's where we don't really need to have to answer those questions. You know, like I had somebody on a table once who came for the first session and said, will you talk me through the whole session? And I was like, no, I won't. Because,
God, yeah.
Because I explained while I was doing the first bit, like, I'm doing this just to assess how your body feels to me, you know, and to introduce my energy into your energy. Do you know what I mean? Because we've all got it. We've all got you know, these fields that you're seeing, these auric fields, these coloured fields are our energy fields. And we're not just, we're not physical body at all.
Yeah.
We're not a physical body at all, I don't believe.
When you look
at it. I believe that this physical body transports me, my soul, my energy, all the parts of me around, you know, like a car.
Yeah.
But we all have them. We have different layers. And I don't know masses about them, but I just know we have them.
Well, they can see them on, they've developed a technique, haven't they, to... They can see what's going on in auric fields.
I can't remember. I've got a book in the other room. Yeah. A guy that invented a Killian camera or something like that. Yeah. He's English, and he took photographs, and he could see the auric fields, even the energy field of somebody like who's lost a leg or a limb.
Yes,
the energy field of the limb is still there.
Yeah. No, it is. It's really fascinating. And, you know, back to we all have it. I think the only reason I have it is because I was attuned to it. I think that attunement process. Yes. And Daisy, my daughter, she's fascinated. You've met her, haven't you?
Yeah.
And she's fascinated by that stuff too. And she can see auras, but she has practiced.
Yeah.
And she can, you know, she's not quite at the stage where she can see colours, but she can see outlines of people's auras. And
Well, I think kids can. Like when you're a baby, you see babies looking around, don't you, at people like,
yeah,
and then they smile or whatever. And I think as children, you can, you know, like my little nephew's 3 and he talks about ghosts. I said to Beck, don't push it out. Just, yeah, great. Yeah. What do you see? You know, because it is, they do see it. It's not something they're imagining, or I believe anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, last year, I lost my father-in-law and my dad, and I was seeing blue lights all over the place. And that's a sign, apparently, of a spirit. And it doesn't frighten me. It's just a bit of information. I've had flickering lights, telly going on in the middle of the night. All sorts of things which have become normal for me, and but some people like, you know, a bit spooky. But I don't feel frightened by it. I just think, oh yeah, it's here. So interesting. So I knew it would be a bit like this.
I know we've gone way off tangent, haven't we?
No, this is good. It's really fascinating. I find it dead interesting. So let me have a look. So one of the chapters is about when people sink. So you and I deal with people when they're sinking a little bit. And we can be weighed down either by things that are going on currently, but also there can be connections, as we've said before, with past. So I had a recent example where a client literally just felt humiliated by another leader's comments, and they, you know, they were feeling quite panicked by that, and they said that it made them feel silly. Now that language is connected with childhood. When we feel silly, often there are silly, stupid, often there are connections in childhood. And so we will deal with that next week when he comes to session. And I said, I can hear your triggers. We'll just haven it away. It's fine. It's cool. We'll deal with it. So what my question to you is, what is it that typically tends to dull your shine? And so that's the first part of the question. So dull your shine or weigh you down. And then the second part of the question is, how do you deal with that? How do you offload that baggage, or how do you get move on from it, I guess.
Yeah. Dull my shine. I think doing things that I don't want to do.
Yes.
So I was thinking moving outside my boundaries. That's another. Yeah. I'm getting a lot better, and I am very good at saying no to things, but saying yes to stuff where you feel obligated. You're like, anything where in the sentence is a should.
Yes.
I should do that. I'm eradicating should out of the English language. But I suppose it is that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy or whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And I think, you know, I am learning that I need to have a little bit more fun in my life, you know,
What do you do for fun? Because I think that's a brilliant topic. You know, you were asking, you asked your clients, what do you do to
relax? Yeah.
Well, I get the same look when I say to delegates, if I'm training, what do you do to have fun? And there's a silence.
I went out. I've got a couple of people who work in the clinic now who do counselling, hypnotherapy, have not met. So we went out last night, and the lady who does hypnotherapy was talking about, she's very animated, and she was talking about, you know, like, she works in the NHS, so I could see that, you know, when you're surrounded by death a lot,
yeah,
you live your life full. Like, and this woman, I was like, oh my God, I need to take a leaf out of her book. I said to her, right, tell me what you do. I said, because one thing I said was, because I'm single and I'm on my own and I'd love to do all these things, but I need to, I haven't got anybody to do them with. And she went, you don't need anybody to do them with. You do them by yourself. Just off you go. And I was like, God, she's right. And I did that. When I lived in, I moved to Australia by myself.
Wow.
I did have somewhere to go and live, a friend who I lived with, but I traveled by myself. I'd go off by myself. I'd do all these things. I'm like, now I'm back here. What's stopping me? I go to the cinema by myself. I don't have a problem with anything like that. But like she was talking about open swimming, and I'd love to do that. I would love to do it. But I'm like, God, where's round here? She said, well, there's a pond in Repton. I was like, I don't want to swim in a pond. I want to swim where it's, but there is. You just have to do something about it. Do you know what I mean? And I think also what dulls my shine that's popped in is I get lots of ideas that I get lots of excited about, and I'll be dead honest, I don't do them because of imposter syndrome, because of I can't do that, or somebody else has done it, or I've got no qualifications, or this, that, and the other. When I don't do them, you don't see that shine rub away, do you? But you slowly start
to gradual.
And then you find yourself back at that place on the sofa with a family sized bag of crisps and the wine and the crap TV. And I go, I'm here again.
So that's your trigger, is it? That's when you know that you've got to buff up your shine.
And it doesn't have to be, I don't have to go and book a massive holiday or anything that. Like, I tell you, being in a wood with I've got a favorite tree that I go and visit, and I normally sit in it, and people walk past with the dogs looking at me very strangely. And I found it in lockdown. I was like, this is on my doorstep. Why did I not know about this before? Like, I do love trees.
Yeah.
And I talk to them, and I think they talk to me sometimes, and I hug them.
But again, science has proven that nature is really good for you.
Well, yeah, there's a book on my, I know that one of the questions, whether you're asking it or not, is what on your bedside table?
Yeah.
Have a quick look.
Go on, have a look.
One of the book is Earthing. I haven't read it cover to cover. I've picked it up, but there's a book called Earthing by Clinton Ober. There's two other authors as well, which I can't remember. And he talks about planting your feet on the ground, grounding. And it's not a one-way thing. It's to do with electrons or ions or something. Please don't question me on the technical bits. I read it, I understand it, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at remembering things like that. We give something to the earth. The earth gives something to us. And it all went wrong when we put shoes on. And we put that piece of rubber or whatever it was underneath, and we can heal ourselves. He uses, you can buy things for your bed that you can sleep on, that you put a wire out the window and you rod it into the ground.
No way.
So it's earthing you while you sleep. Yeah. Because even sleeping on mattresses with metal springs and all that sort of thing can affect our energy and that sort of thing. So I suppose being out in nature, like even last night, you know, sitting around a table with mates, or, you know, sharing food, having a laugh, talking about rubbish and bigger and deeper conversations.
Yeah.
You know, but just that connection with other people that, you know, that make you feel amazing, and having a good laugh sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, just
absolutely.
They are the simple stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, the thing that's always struck me about you is that you've got a good network of people around you.
Yeah.
That you tap into. And, you know, and that is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, sometimes when I've gone round and round and round and round and I'm like, enough, what is this? And sometimes you can't say, you need help.
Yeah.
You need help. You need people like you. You know what I mean? I've worked with a business coach on and off for a number of years, like to help me. Well, initially, because I got to the stage in my business where I wanted to step out on my own and was like, how do I do this? How do I, like, you know, like, you need somebody behind you that's like you are with your clients and your executives. You do need that person behind you to see a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I also have, and she's helped me personally as well. My mum died, so she was with me through that, because then that's another thing you've got to walk through. You'll know, it's like, oh my God, this person that's been around for 49 years of my life, 48 years of my life is no longer here.
Yeah.
You don't realize what you know, because I didn't always get on, you know,
big
loses.
Yeah.
And you know, we have challenges. We do have challenges with our nearest and dearest. That's what we're meant to have.
And on that subject, isn't death a taboo subject? That's one of the things I learned last year, that actually people don't know how to talk about grieving loss, how to communicate with you even.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I did a restorative yoga course, I met a lady whose name I can't remember, who was, you know, like you can get a doula for birth.
Yes.
She was a doula for death.
Wow.
She was like a soul midwife.
Gosh.
And it's come up again. And I was like, I was so fascinated. I went for lunch with her the first day. And she only said what she did. And I was like, whoa. And she's like, sorry. Yeah. I said, no, you're not upsetting me. It's a relief. I said, because, you know, I'm not shy about death. I'm not scared or frightened to die. You know, it's something it's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, I do believe that I've got a date stamped somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it's yet. I don't know what the date is. I don't want to know what the date is. But when my time is up, my time is up. That's how I look at life. I don't worry. I think it's not worth worrying about.
Yeah.
But my mum, we couldn't talk about it.
Yes.
We were actually told by one of the people who were looking after her, said, you cannot talk about your mum's death to her. She's already stressed enough and it will push her over the edge.
Right.
You know, she did say to me in her final days that she was like, she'd come to terms with dying and she was all right with it, and I knew she was. And it was like, I think that's what happens with people. I think that is, but I don't think we know how to transition. We don't know what goes on in the transition period. You know, you're taught at school about sex education and how a child's born, right?
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, we don't want to know. But, you know, but you do have an idea of what happens when you're born. But energetically, we don't. Energetically, we don't know what happens, or emotionally what happens to that child as it comes through the birth canal and what happens.
Yeah.
And we don't when we die. And she was explaining to me, there are stages that you go through and there's stages that you can take somebody that's going through death and their nearest and dearest, so that they understand energetically, spiritually.
Yeah.
And I was like,
so wish our family
I actually looked at doing the training, and it's still probably on the radar because it came up again this week. I've been watching some webinars about Claire Wilcox has put some webinars together about different forms of complementary therapy and how we, she's a doctor, but is also into complementary and alternative therapy as well. And so she's been talking to lots of people, and I've not seen all the webinars. They're only available for 72 hours, but the ones I've seen are very about energy and things that I've seen before. I'm like, whoa, this is a bit.
Yeah. No, seriously, I love all of that.
So yeah, I don't know what I got. Again, I got
No, I was just saying that death is such a taboo subject. Yes.
And I think we don't understand it.
And I think also, you know, I wish I learned from those two death experiences and I would do things differently just because that's my mindset. Yes. I'm always, you know, we were saying earlier, you know, I don't have any issues with screwing up. I screw up and then I learn, screw up and learn. And we get better and better through those screw ups. And there are definitely things I would do differently with my dad in particular, because it was quite a long drawn out process, as cancer usually is.
Yeah.
But I wish I'd had more direct conversations with him. And, you know, this pussyfooting around. I mean, there were times when I, as the older sister, said, look, I think Dad needs to be able to say what he wants to say. And let's stop being polite about this. Because, you know, there were times when he really had stuff to say, but there was this energy of, come on, let's still be positive. You know, and it's like, he's dying. Let's accept this.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I think
everybody takes it very differently. So I was very involved.
Yes.
Because I lived close by, but my sister lived further away, but couldn't cope with it either. So I was in the thick of it. And I always, you know, like we always had this joke in our family that was like, you know, when you get old, don't expect us to look after you. You can go in a home. And I know that's an awful thing, but it was a bit of a lie. And don't think because you brought us up that we're going to do the same. Well, I tell you what, I was like, I would have done anything. And I never thought I would.
Yeah.
You know, luckily we had people from St. Giles that would come in and, you know, when the last few days, to do all the things that I don't think we should have to do.
Yes, but
I would have done them if I had to have done them.
Bless you.
You know, just the clean and make sure that they're, you know, but I think people, it is a taboo subject. And I think it's harder for the people that are left behind than the person going through it. And if we, you know, like if we understood more about it, I think it would help, because you sort of, and some people believe in the afterlife and some people don't.
Yeah.
Don't. So, you know, it's not convincing them of anything otherwise.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of a, it's just an empowerment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, and to have these conversations way before, because I've now said to, because we didn't have a clue what my mum wanted from a funeral perspective.
Yes.
Not an idea.
Yeah.
But so we just did what we felt would be the right thing, but it's hard. Like I, like, you know, even choosing a date, just choose one for me. I don't want to pick a date. Like I'm in, I don't want to deal with all these questions that, you know, even at the end where it was like, we can't play that music because we don't have a license. And I was like, it's tomorrow. I am not doing anything about this. You sort it out. And then to the funeral director, and they were phenomenal. They were like, we'll sort it. I was like, thank you. Like, you know, because I just can't handle this.
No, it's so much to process. And, you know, I've totally cheated with it. I've used Havening to deal with it because
it's not cheating. It's not a cheat. It's a tool you have to help you survive. And all, you know, and in I think it's amazing. You do need things like that.
But what was interesting is I didn't Haven straight away. I waited until I thought, actually, do you know what? This is hanging around a bit too long now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to let some of this stuff go. But what was interesting when I finished it was how peaceful I felt afterwards.
Yeah.
And I felt exactly the same way, actually, when my dad died, when I said goodbye. And it was, I know it's ridiculous, but it was a really beautiful, peaceful moment. And I remember driving back from, so he lived in Morecambe, driving, and I was on holiday at the time. I'd popped over to say my last goodbyes in Yorkshire. And just driving back, and I just felt at peace. I think there's so much out there, isn't there, in terms of how we can help ourselves and don't have to either physically be in pain or mentally be in pain.
Or emotionally be in pain.
Yeah. And it's that whole, you know, yes, we have been, I have loved our conversation today. I've hardly asked you any questions. I'm going to have to start rounding things up. But it is such a fascinating subject. And to you and I, it's normal to people out there, it might seem strange and weird, but I would say open your mind to it, because you can lead a different and a better life, can't you? And, you know, back
yes,
to...
Yes, because it can be consuming. I know we need to wrap up, so I'm not... But we can consume ourselves with fear and worry and death and all of these things.
Yeah.
And it does consume me sometimes when you get into that. And then you're like, oh, hold on a minute.
And that's the point. And I think sometimes, you know, in our helping professions, people expect us to be perfect, and we're not. You know, the crap hits the fan, but we have, the difference is we have tools in terms of how we handle it. So this brings me on to the final chapter, which is about the mess deck, which is, so the mess deck typically, so there's a sailing metaphor throughout the book. The mess deck typically is where people would rest, relax, recharge, take care of themselves, really, take care of the body. So how do you take care of your body and mind? What are your go-to?
Physically, I start with lime water every morning. Warm. I have warm water. Warm water is easier to digest than cold water.
Why lime, not lemon?
That's a good question. I don't know, really, the answer.
You just prefer
When I did the Ayurvedic cleanse for six weeks to get rid of the acid reflux, she said lime. So lime, cider vinegar, and I use only like half a teaspoon of cider vinegar and then half a teaspoon or a little bit of honey to sweeten it, but warm. And I'm also, I don't know, I don't want to go into it, but I'm pitta, so it's fiery. I'm quite fiery. Yeah. So it's important to keep sort of the stomach... Like it's like a coal fire, you know, like you don't want to keep fueling it and then letting it die out, It's better if it's like a barbecue most of the time and then it's ready for stuff. I'm going in on a tangent, but that's what I start with every morning. Mm. I think so. There's certain things that there's only two things that I've really stuck to with that. And that is, so first thing in the morning, I tongue scrape. I use a tongue scraper and clean my teeth, obviously. And then I have the lime and warm water.
Nice. And I
do eat really well. Like I don't really buy. So I did Veganuary last year and I loved it. I'm not vegan. I'm not vegetarian. I'm flexible. So at home, I don't have meat or milk or anything like that. Yeah. So I eat and I basically cook most of my food. I do love to cook, but I do cook and from fresh most of the time. I don't really have any sort of like, so it is hard when you want to. So it's hard because you've got a plan and you've got to have stuff in, else I eat rubbish. So I'm trying to find that balance. You know, I still eat cake and I still eat chocolate is my weakness. I love it. And I am a bit of a sugar addict, but I think it's in everything. So it's hard not to be. And we're given it from very young age. Exercise. Yeah. I do love yoga, but I also like punching a bag, you know, doing boxing and some aerobic stuff. So I do a PT session every week to keep that sort of thing going. And just getting outside. Like there's nothing better than like, even if it's just for 2 minutes standing in the garden, like the sun's just hitting us now, isn't it? Just to take a bit of those rays in nature. Yeah.
No, what's interesting at the start, you said you don't have a routine and I get the sense you're a bit of a rebel and I connect with that entirely. If the majority are doing something over here, I'm going to do something opposite. I'm just the way I'm made. But I would argue you have a great routine. But it's your routine, isn't it?
I think it's when it becomes has to be done in this way at this time. You know, sometimes I journal, sometimes I don't. I'd say a 20% journal to 80% not.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do and I get some really like, wow, moments, and sometimes I use it when I am a bit stuck. Let's see if you know. And I know people use it. I know you use it and love it and use it as a tool.
But I use it just when I get stuck.
And
the point is, and the point with the whole book is, you have a blueprint for when you fall off the horse. You know how to get back on it, and it sounds like you know how to do the same. So I'm going to bring things to a close because I've got a client very shortly. What would you say, what is the final kind of piece of pearl of wisdom or your biggest insider secret that you'd like to share with people?
Ooh, insider secret. Ooh.
Or just something that you live by.
I think what I'm learning, and I think that we all have the answers inside. I'm told this time and time again with the people that I work with, and I do know that myself. I think if we go quiet for long enough and often enough, you get the answer. Your body has the answers. It does. That's my work with wisdom. It does. I know that. The body has the answers. It completely, and with the right things, I believe it can completely heal. Now, sometimes we have to do some drastic measures and sometimes we just have to make some little changes. But I believe this thing that we transports us, this vessel that transports us on planet Earth to have all these amazing experiences that we have, knows everything and can heal everything.
That's brilliant. You know? And so it's just tuning into that, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're all, look, I'm rubbish at it as well. Do you know what I mean? We're all learning. It's not, you know, but I think we put our, this is what I want to empower people with, because I think, you know, we do need doctors and nurses and medicines and the NHS. We do need them. Yeah. They are fantastic when it's emergency and cancer care and things like that. Do you know what I mean? But from a healthcare system, it's not great. And I think they would agree with that. I'm not saying anything that I'm not, you know, our general day-to-day healthcare, you know, we need to take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
You know, and not put all of that into somebody else's hands.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And we know.
How do people get in touch with you? Is there anything you want to promote or tell us about?
So you can get in touch with me via my website. That's got loads of information on about me and what I do. That's www.lisasatchwellenergetics.co.uk.
Lovely.
I'm on Facebook, Lisa Satchwell Energetics. I'm on Instagram, I think same Lisa Satchwell Energetics. They're the three main things that I use.
And you're also on LinkedIn as well.
I am on LinkedIn, but I'll be honest, I'm not active on LinkedIn. I'm not. It's because it's business to business more than like sort of I work with the general public. It's but I should, and I should, you know, I say, I know I shouldn't. That should be. That's doing something. I don't really, it doesn't gel with me. Do you know what I mean? I love Instagram because it's very visual and I love pictures and I love scrolling through stuff. So that's how you can get in touch with me. If you want to experience a really beautiful, relaxing 2 hours, like a mini retreat at home on the last Sunday in February, I'm doing a yin yoga nidra workshop online. You'll find it online as an event on my website. You don't have to have an experience of yoga. It's a very slow yoga where we hold positions for a little while. And at the end, there's a half an hour where you just lie down, relax and listen to me guiding you through a yoga nidra, which is a yogic meditation. Takes you down to a deep sleep state where you're still awake and aware. You might fall asleep. Loads of people do. You know, that's fine. If that's what you need, that's completely fine as well. But yeah, so that's the last Sunday in February, 3 till 5. It's a 2 hour, just a really blissful thing you can do for yourself.
I'm going to have a look at that. That sounds fab.
Yes.
Right. Thank you so much for coming on. I've loved our conversation. I knew it would be interesting. I've hardly asked you any questions. and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. Lovely to be here.
Thank you for listening to Leader Insider Secrets. You can help this podcast grow by leaving an honest review. Also, if you want to get future episodes, remember to hit subscribe. Finally, if you're interested in working with me, you can book a free 30-minute discovery session, or you can connect and access other resources in the link below. I'm Estelle Reed at B.Company, executive coach, trainer, and author. This has been Leader Insider Secrets.